Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Celebrating 8 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of 2 books, and all-around nice guy.
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Don't forget all the other things, many things that you can do. Listen to archives, read articles, and find out more about our brain trust. And we got more to come. We got some stuff that we're just about ready to launch. I think you're going to like a lot. Ladies and gentlemen, about 6 years ago, I found something that I'm not sure if they, in those days, they called it the Global Entrepreneurship Monitor, but that's what they call the current version. But about 6 years ago, when the very first survey of small businesses around the world was taken, and I found it, I was so excited, and I've been writing about it, I've been referring to it, I've been updating you on that ever since then. There's a new one has come out every year since then. The guy who's in charge of that is our guest this half hour, Zoltan Ach, is professor of the Merrick School of Business at the University of Baltimore, and he's our good friend. Zoltan, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. Thanks, you, and welcome. It's nice to be here.
Thank you. It's good to have you here. And folks, Zoltan is, besides being a really smart guy, I would have him on the show just to be able to say his name. That's the coolest name. I said the last time, Zoltan, I'm going to change my name to Zoltan. I just think that's a great name. It's not pedestrian like Jim. Hello?
Hello.
Well, and let me ask you, Zoltan, the Global Entrepreneurship Monitor, has it been – I know it's been around about 6 years. Have you been involved with it ever since the first one?
I was not involved with it in the first 2 years, but I was involved with the people that started it. So I knew about it.
The Kaufman, Babson College folks?
Yes, yes. And There was even an earlier version in the U.S., which I was involved in. So I've been involved with trying to understand how many small businesses there are and what role they play in the economy for a long, long time.
Well, one of the things that the GEM, and I'm going to call it the GEM, the Global Entrepreneurship Monitor, just for ease of speaking, one of the things the GEM does, if I understand it correctly, Zoltan, is it measures the impact of entrepreneurship on an economy.
Well, it does that. But it also measures how many people are actually trying to start a business,
right,
and who those people are, and then how many of them actually do start one.
And in terms of, if I understand what I'm reading, Zoltan, in terms of the number of people starting a business and being interested in starting a small business, the news is good, isn't it?
Yes, it's
around the world.
Yes, it's about 1 in 10 are trying to start a business.
Yeah.
So that varies from maybe 1 in 100 to maybe as high as 4 out of 100, almost 25%. And so when you get to a country like Uganda, everybody's running around trying to start a business.
Right.
And when you get to a country like Japan, nobody wants to start a business. But on average, for the U.S., it's about 1 in 10.
Right. Well, and the thing is, Zoltan, is that when I travel around the United States, and people find out what I do, I'm telling you, more like 1 out of 2 people who you know, if they're not even executives of major corporations, sometimes say that they want to, when they retire, they want to start their own small business. I think it's even though 1 out of 10 are actively working on starting a small business, I think 8 out of 10 actually are thinking about it.
Actually, I think we'll split that difference, but every other person is thinking about it.
Right.
But every other one doesn't actually go ahead and do something.
Well, see, you're a researcher. You're a bona fide researcher, Zoltan. I'm an editorialist.
That's
I don't have to get it right. I just have to get it close.
That's right.
But it is pretty impressive, and it's actually I see it as a tide, an entrepreneurial tsunami that's washing over this globe. What do you think?
Well, I think it's absolutely right. You know, ever since 1990, when the Berlin Wall came down and capitalism crumbled, everybody around the world looked around and said, ah, we can all now start businesses and be owners and participants in this global economy. And people all over the world wanted to start businesses.
Right. Absolutely. And they're doing that. And folks, I think that there's an entrepreneurship dividend that we haven't even begun to reap yet. And I want to talk about that with Zoltan right after these messages. And one of the questions I'm going to ask Zoltan when we come back is Europe, as it's currently structured, an economy that will make it, that will be competitive in the 21st century? 2012. Stay with us. We'll be right back with our good friend Zoltan Ali. We're back at 17 till. That's Chicago in the background. Zoltan Ach is our good friend and our guest this half hour, ladies and gentlemen. Actually, he's always our good friend. He's just our guest this half hour. Professor of entrepreneurship at Merrick School of Business at the University of Baltimore. The editor of the 2004 Global Entrepreneurship Monitor, which, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to say that in terms of what it's telling us, in terms of what it's revealing to us about how some sort of an undercurrent of the marketplace, the global marketplace, I'm going to say, Zoltan, and I'm might be prone to hyperbole every once in a while, but I don't think this is hyperbole. I'm going to say it's one of the most important documents of the 21st century.
Well, that's a great compliment. I'll take that.
Well, I listen, and the thing is, Zoltan, I was singing the praises of the original document right. Long before I knew you. Long before, I mean, I just found it somewhere. This is very important stuff, folks, and it's not going to help you make payroll this Friday, but what I do think it does, Zoltan, is it helps my audience and small business owners understand that there is a sea change from major corporation to small business. Around the globe, big businesses are realizing that they need small businesses to be their partners, not just to be vendors. Small businesses need to understand that too. And because of the tide that is happening, Zoltan, I believe that there's a peace dividend that's building slowly. That where if I trade with a small business owner in China or Uganda or Iraq, I'm not going to hate those people if I'm trading with them.
Well, Jim, I think you're absolutely right. What this does, it brings people all closer together. It gets them involved in the economy together. It gets them involved in their businesses. And it really helps people sort of understand someone else, and it makes the world a better place.
Someone once said, I don't know who said it, and I think that they're right, though, that no democracy has ever attacked another democracy.
Well, yeah.
Now, I'll quote somebody else. I don't like to quote the French, but this guy is a pretty cool guy, Frederick Bastiat. You know who he is,
yeah.
the great 19th century economist and comedian. He said that when I'm paraphrasing him a little bit, he said when goods cross borders, armies don't.
Yeah. Well, you know, when people are trading, they're less likely to start fighting. Of course, sometimes they start fighting over what they're trading.
Zoltan, let's talk about Europe a little bit. There's this little snit that's going back and forth across the Atlantic. There's a snit between the French and the Germans. What did somebody said? The Dutch don't like the Germans. The Germans don't like the Poles, and the French don't like anybody, or something like that. But I read in an Economist article in the magazine The Economist, Jacques Chirac said this. He said, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, he says that he was going to be a bulwark against American-style capitalism, as if that was something to avoid like the plague. I think that France could use a little bit of American-style capitalism. What do you think?
Well, Jim, that's really interesting. You know, when I was in Europe in the early 80s, I used to talk about, I was actually doing research on job creation in the United States. That's when these numbers were coming out that the United States, the sea change had already started back in the early 80s with small firms creating a lot of jobs. And when I was talking about this in Europe, the Europeans would tell me two things. They'd say, first, Zoltan, we don't believe your numbers. And then they'd say, even if they're correct, We don't want those jobs. And, you know, what they were basically saying is a lot of the jobs were being created were not permanent. They were temporary. They didn't pay benefits. They paid lower wages than working for General Motors. And it was creating a strain on society that was really not good for it. And, you know, a lot of that is to some extent true. And Europe has basically had the view that they really want to have much more rigid regulation of who can start a business and how they have to treat their employees.
Right.
And
that statement, Zoltan, pardon me for interrupting you, that position is an uncompetitive 21st century position, in my opinion.
And a lot of people are debating that question right now, whether Europe can compete with its rigid labor laws that basically force an employer to pay uniformed high wages to you, whether you work for Siemens or for a small business, and force you to pay more or less the same health benefits, whether you work for Siemens or a small business, and make it exceedingly difficult for you to let someone go unless you close down the business.
Mandating how many vacation days a person gets.
Yes.
Mandating the maximum hours a person can work, even if they want to.
Right.
Mandating at what point you know, it's overtime, and lowering that number. Is that number 35 hours now?
It is in France. I think it is in Germany.
Yeah, 35 hours is a work week. Over that is overtime with
or it's illegal to work over that.
Oh, it is? Is it illegal? I didn't know it was illegal.
Oh, yeah. I remember being in a Dutch university once, and at 4:30, my friend said, "We got to go." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Oh, it's illegal to stay in the building after 4:30.
Wow. Well, let me tell you something. There's not going to be a whole lot of entrepreneurship in an environment like that.
No, you're absolutely right. And a lot of people that want to be entrepreneurs from Europe come to America.
Right. Well, you know, let's look at the numbers, though. You've got that kind of attitude, Zoltan, in Europe, and their economy is growing at 1.5 or less percent.
Yeah.
You've got that kind of an attitude in Japan, and their economy is growing it hasn't been growing for 15 years.
Hasn't been growing for 15
China,
years.
China,
right.
In a communist regime, is very entrepreneurial. They're growing at 9%. What's wrong with that picture, ladies and gentlemen? Tintil, we'll be right back with our good friend Zoltan Acz after these messages.
Lord, we going out tonight.
We're back at 7 till. That's Richie Valens singing in the background. Zoltan Acz is our guest. He's professor of Merrick School of Business at the University of Baltimore and the editor of the 2004 Global Entrepreneurship Monitor, a very important document. Zoltan, give us your website, please, because you also have a regular publication that you offer, don't you?
Yes. That website is www.ubalt.edu.
UBALT?
UBALT.
Dot edu, and then what?
Slash Acz.
O-C-H.
A-C-S.
I'm sorry. I don't know why I said I know that. A-C-S. I've got it right here in front of me. What's the matter with me? A-C-S. Zoltan A-C-S. But put A-C-S on the end. UBALT, as for University of Baltimore.
Right.
Dot edu slash A-C-S. Okay.
Right, and that'll get you there.
That'll get you there. Okay, folks, so check that out. And
if you just went to Google and typed in my name,
right,
it comes right up.
Zoltan Acz. Now, Zoltan, what about the monitor? Where can we find that on a regular basis?
The monitor also has its own website, and it's at www.gemconsortium, one long nasty word, .edu.
Sure you put the edu on the end there. Okay, thank you for that, Zoltan. Zoltan, the question is asked: is Europe currently structured with their employment policies, which are pretty universal across Europe? Is Europe competitive for the 21st century? My answer is no. I'd like to know your answer.
Well, Jim, the Europeans are debating that question. And so that's actually a good sign because there's some variation there. And, you know, the British are much more flexible, and the French and the Germans and the Spanish are much less flexible.
Right.
And what you have is higher unemployment in the less flexible countries, therefore bigger deficits and less businesses providing the things that people need.
10% unemployment in most of those countries.
It's an awful big number, and it's held there for years. And the debate in Germany and France now is to change that. And I think if they do change that, Europe will be much more competitive in the future than it currently is.
But as currently structured?
Well, you know, Japan has gone along for many, many years growing at 0.5% or not growing. Mm-hmm. And if you're a rich country, you can do that for a long, long time.
Well, Japan has been in an economic funk for 15 years,
and
they're still the number two economy.
Yeah, so you see, if you're very rich, you can do that, and France and Germany are rich countries, and they've been doing this almost for 10 years themselves, not quite as bad as Japan. So you'll become less and less competitive, but you're not going to become poor overnight.
The way I see the difference between one of the differences between the U.S. and Europe, Zoltan, is we have companies that have systemic problems, and when we have those companies, the company either bankrupts or it changes or it goes out of business or whatever, and the overall economy continues to march. But Europe has those uncompetitive things overlaid every industry, not just one industry or one company.
You know, Tim, the biological analogy is really good. The economy, just like life, is characterized by births and deaths. And the Europeans want to try to stop births and deaths at the same time.
Well,
you know what that means? Some of us get very old.
Well, let me ask you, Zoltan, why aren't the French and the Germans, maybe they are. Are they talking to you and your partner, David Aldrich? I mean,
well,
they should be talking to you guys.
We do talk to those people. And, you know, people that read the Monitor, and this is a big debate. And, you know, it goes to the very heart of, do you want sort of a planned economy, or do you really want a more market economy, you know, with its positive sides and some of the negative sides too? And the Europeans always say, boy, we love America, we like all the good things, but we don't want any of the bad things.
Right.
And, you know, it's like most
they don't want any of that American style capitalism.
Well, you know, they don't want low wages. They don't want, you know, someone said, what about all those bad jobs at Walmart?
Uh-huh.
And someone said, well, for some of those people, that's not that bad a job.
Right. Well, there are plenty of people lining up to work there, and we also only have 5% unemployment. Zoltan, thank you for being here very much. We enjoyed very much having you.
Thank you, Jim, and I look forward to being on your show again next time.
And thanks for the great work that you're doing around the world. It's very important, and I appreciate it. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners around the world. This is Jim Blassingame. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.